Welcome to Living Above the Drama. I'm your host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio, and today my guest is Jamie Parent, who is a retired lieutenant colonel having proudly served in the United States Air Force Biomedical Services Corps for 20 years. Post-military service, Jamie has served in a number of chief information officer executive positions, serving with the University of Maryland system and as both an executive and then as assistant professor in the College of Health Sciences Health Information Program at Rush University. Jamie has been an advocate for individuals with disabilities for 30 years and serving as a board member and treasurer for the Autistic Society of America, as well as a coach and mentor for the Special Olympics. His book, Moving Past PSTD, Consciousness, Understanding, and Appreciation for Military Veterans and Their Families, provides a solution-based approach to addressing PSTD and the many obstacles facing today's military veterans. Included in the appendix of his book is the Enabled Veteran, a 13-week fast-track information technology program easily adapted and provided license-free for any and all healthcare organizations with a compassion for veterans. Jamie, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for your service. The day after the anniversary of D-Day, it's a special pleasure and privilege to have you here on the show.
Well, thank you, Georgiana. I'm really pleasured and honored to be on your program today. Thank you so much.
Well, we would have been interviewing you on D-Day. However, we had a little technical difficulty yesterday, so we have you on today. But yesterday was a very special day, very moving day, and reminds all of us just how precious our military and the men and women who serve in it are. So, Jamie, you have done some wonderful work both in the military and the private sector, and now you are working in a very important area, a very important arena for both of those populations. Let's start by talking about you and how you got into the Air Force and how you got into dealing with PTSD. So, if you want to start us after college, when you joined the Air Force, tell us a little bit about that, and you know, we can have a better understanding of, you know, how you started on your journey.
Sure. Well, I was a medical technologist in Hartford, Connecticut. Medical technologists basically are people in the laboratory that examine, do all the chemistry, hematology, microbiology work for people when you're in the hospital and help doctors and nurses make the right diagnosis and analysis based upon those lab results. So I was doing quite fine. I was quite happy. I was wearing a lab coat, feeling really good about myself, feeling that I'm really contributing to medicine, of which medical technologists do. I went and I got my master's degree, and then I decided to have a little wanderlust. So my wife and I took off, and we traveled across the country in a Datsun B210 back in the day. Nice little car that took us across country, and we visited various friends, saw the things that we wanted to see, and along the way, we met a couple of people that we had known in college or in other places that that had military service. So while I was kind of thinking about my career, talked to these folks, and they said, you know what, the military is a pretty good idea. Maybe you should talk about them. And I'm like, well, you know, just like everybody else, it pops into my mind, I don't really want to fly an airplane. You know, I'm not that kind of person. Oh, no, you've got a medical skill. You could apply that skill to military service. So I listened to them, and I went to a recruiter, and the Air Force picked me up. And so being a person with a skill and a master's degree, I came on as a first lieutenant, and that was way back in 1983. While I was in the military, I held various positions within the laboratory. I was stationed in places such as Randolph Air Force Base in San Antonio, Andrews Air Force Base in Washington, outside Washington, D.C., and then I went overseas to RAF Upper Heyford in England. And during that time, the emergence of the electronic medical record was coming into focus. And so I got really interested in the early days of electronic medical records, and being kind of a lab geek and a data geek, because if you think about it, Georgiana, the lab only produces two things. It produces a blood bag, or it produce data information. And so the segue from lab to information technology was a pretty much an easy one. And sure enough, the military was trying to get on that fast train too, the journey for electronic medical records. So from there, I became a chief information officer in the military. I went to Wolfert Hall Medical Center in San Antonio, where they were 1,200-bed hospital, pretty large hospital for its time. And there, the electronic medical records started to be deployed. And I really cut my teeth very early on healthcare IT. We're talking 1990, 1991. And from there, I ended up at Walter Reed Army Medical Center, supporting the Army and also the Navy and Air Force, helping them with TRICARE, which is the health management organization, HMO, if you will, for the Department of Defense. When 20-year mark came up, I decided to part ways. The Air Force decided to part ways with me, too. So it was very amicable. 20 years, I had done my time. I wanted to go out and see what I could do in the civilian sector. By that time, I'm 46, 47 years old. I said, well, I've had a 20-year career. Let's see if we can build another 20 years. So that's when I started my journey as a civilian chief information officer. Got a great job being the CIO at Maryland General Hospital in Baltimore, Maryland. And from there, I got a really good offer from an old friend of mine that I worked for while I was in the military. His name was Lac Tran. He was a friend and a mentor. And so I came out to Chicago, and that's when I joined the staff of Rush University Medical Center, where I was the vice president of information services and the associate CIO out there. While I was out there, I built this program. I was thinking about veterans, and I was trying to wonder, you know, I had some internal questions that were bothering me, Georgiana, like, why are veterans committing suicide at a rate of 20-plus a day? Why do veterans keep going back 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times? What's behind that? And being somebody who had worked in the disability community for a while, I knew that when somebody comes home different or when someone is different in the family, everybody takes on whatever that difference is. By that, I mean, even today, I have a 32-year-old son with autism. His name is Brian, and he still lives with us. I have two other grown children that have moved out of the house, but Brian's still with us. And so based upon my own experience, Brian has autism, but in a different kind of way, the family has autism. And so I figured, you know what, a veteran's coming back with PTSD, and that means the family also has PTSD. Not that they have the same thing, of course, but they're going through what it's like to have a family member with some type of disorder, whether it's autism or PTSD. And so I had these questions, and then I thought, well, why is the unemployment rate so high for veterans? So the idea came upon me, hey, let's see if we can put a little dent in this and build a program where we can train veterans in some very hot, not only jobs, but careers, healthcare, information technology. There's a lot of job openings for these folks. And I knew that the military veterans had the skills built in them based upon their military training. So I wanted to find out what the differences was. And sure enough, I did. And when I left Rush about 2 years ago to write this book, I wanted to put it down in a book form so that I could take what I had learned about veterans, about jobs, personal interviews that told me their stories of PTSD, as well as others involved like clinicians, family members, Gold Star moms, who are people that moms that have lost sons or daughters in the war. And that whole dynamic of the veteran came into focus. And so that's why I put it in a book, because I wanted to share what I had learned with as many people as possible.
Right. Well, Jamie, I want to stop you there and just backtrack just a little bit. Thank you for that excellent explanation. I believe that even prior to your involvement with the PTSD community and the developmental work that you've been doing, that having your son, having Brian, was something that really brought you into the disabilities community, I believe. And so you became aware of what it meant to have, you know, an impediment to what one might call a normal track, you know, in processing life, you know, going through life in a kind of natural way. And your comments about, you know, when a veteran has PTSD, a family has PTSD, I think is very meaningful, because when any family is impacted by anything, and PTSD is tragically part of our military, you know, conditioning today, but it's also part of so many other people's lives. And I, for the listener, I want to invite them in to seeing that PTSD has become so dominant in our culture. We're probably most familiar with it through military. I mean, that's, most of us are aware of that, but that it's carrying over into the families, as you say. And it's also part of things that are non-military related. There are so many people today who do not have the neurological conditioning, the resilience sometimes to overcome this kind of trauma. And it's so important what you're doing, because you basically, you know, you lay out a plan and you offer some options for recovery. So I just want to invite the audience to realize that PTSD, I bet you every single one of us know someone who's suffering in one form or another from PTSD. And it could be from any number of reasons. I was actually married to a man who had a severe case of PTSD because he was passed over for a promotion and his job was farmed out to someone who wasn't even with the organization after he had been promised for a very long time that that was his. And believe it or not, he became very traumatized from it. And it's quite a story because it's real, and he's not the only one. So what I'm trying to do is invite compassion for the families, compassion for the individuals, and to see ourselves as a connected community. Because you're right, you know, our families are an expression of our cities and our communities, and it just keeps spreading out until we take in our whole nation. So this is such an important thing that you're doing, and I wanted to put an umbrella over it. So if anyone knows anyone who is suffering, they can certainly read this book and get a lot of help and a lot of information. So talk to us then about writing the book. You've taken a lot of time and you've got a lot of information and expertise and training. Talk to us about, you know, the techniques and the skills and the tools that you've unmasked as being most helpful for dealing with PTSD.
Okay, sure. One thing though, Georgiana, I want to make sure your audience gets it right, because I do this too. It is PTSD.
I know. I always say PTSD, and I have no idea.
I know.
Post-traumatic stress syndrome. And yeah, thank you, Jamie, because post-traumatic stress, I mean, seriously, you could be attacked by a dog. That's post-traumatic stress.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there are some that want to drop the D at the end and just call it post-traumatic stress and not call it post-traumatic stress disorder. It all means the same thing, and we're all talking about the same thing.
Right, exactly. Some people call it a syndrome because it has multiple symptoms to it. But getting back to what you bring to the discussion. And in a couple of minutes, we're going to take a break. So we'll start this and then we'll roll it over to part two. But talk to us about, you know, the wonderful insights that you've been able to bring to this topic.
I think the strongest theme that I got through my efforts here in my own journey is something I call the sense of purpose. And I think the sense of purpose is something that is inherent in all of us as human beings. Some people phrase it as, well, you need a reason to get up in the morning. You need a reason to do things during the day. You have to have something in life. It could be a number of different things. It could be getting up and going to a job. It could be taking care of your grandkids. It could be doing some philanthropic work. It could be a number of things. But I think we as human beings all need a reason to live. We all need something that motivates us and helps us to feel good and to know that at the end of the day, we've done a good job, and we've really helped people in the community, and we've helped ourselves. You know, the old saying, the more you give, the more you get. And that's the main thing that I really found out about this book, is that veterans want to continue that sense of purpose. And if you think about it, Georgiana, that's why veterans make great police officers, firefighters, teachers, other community type service, pastors and chaplains, because they've been trained to represent their country and to have a strong strong desire for patriotism and continuing the service. I think it's great that a lot of these Fortune 500 companies have stepped up and say, we're going to give you jobs. And Walmart in particular made the comment, no veteran will go without a job. And I think that's great. But what kind of job is that? And I'm not knocking things like cashiers or fast food restaurant people. I'm not knocking that at all, because that's a great fit. It's a great fit for some veterans. But a lot of veterans want more. They've been given a huge amount of responsibility and accountability at a very young age. And quite honestly, someone who's been a tank battalion commander, who's been the head of 100, 200 men and women, whose lives depend upon each other, millions of dollars in military equipment, they don't want to go back. A lot of them don't want to go back and sit behind a desk. They simply don't. They want to be in the action. They want to make a difference, and they want to continue to serve. So there's many other things that I've learned and many other things in the book, but I think that's the main thing that resonates from chapter to chapter to chapter.
So you would say
that desire to continue the service.
You would say that for all people with post-traumatic stress disorder, there is a desire to be part of providing solutions and serving and having a purpose in life. And one of the big things that needs to be addressed is how do we facilitate people back to that clarity, if you will. I mean, I think having had some post-traumatic stress disorder myself as a very young person, I think that it is so all-encompassing and distracting in your life. When you have something of that nature, your brain, your nervous system, it's not really functioning and focused as it might be were you to eliminate that. So I think what you're saying is the purpose is to get people back to that function and that purpose. And your book writes about how to facilitate people to get the jobs that they want and how to fulfill their desire to contribute. Are there particular techniques or skills that you've learned being in your position in healthcare that has helped to facilitate that return to purpose? I'm asking you that question, but we're going to take a break because we've actually gotten through the first part of the show. We're going to take a break, commercial break. We're going to be back in just a moment. And I hope that you will answer that question. What are some of the facilitating skills or techniques that you know, you've been a privy to facilitate people coming back from PTSD. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of not feeling heard? Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert, and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful peer presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. Work within healthcare environments or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. Train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance, a national provider identification number, and our expert-prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL, 888-354-4325.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. changing behavior. Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills by Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.
Dr. Gass is on the advisory board of HealthCorp, a new program which was begun by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
65% are overweight and 35% are obese, and the sharpest rise in this country is between the age group of 4 to 8 years old.
Throughout his career, he has been inspired by patients who have experienced dramatic recoveries through lifestyle changes.
The National Institute of Whole Health is a perfect example of how people will learn to really take control of their lives in a healthy way. What they've done is they've collected basically the who's who of integrative health, and they've brought them together to give a series of lectures where they can then communicate with health professionals to basically deliver the message that we have to look at medicine from a different perspective.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health and their accredited professional continuing educational programs, go to www.wholepersonhealthcare.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL.
Not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful pure presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. Work within healthcare environments or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. Train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance, a national provider identification number, and our expert-prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL, 888-354-4325.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. Changing Behavior. Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills by Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.
Dr. Gass is on the advisory board of HealthCorp, a new program which was begun by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
65% are overweight and 35% are obese, and the sharpest rise in this country is between the age group of 4 to 8 years old.
Throughout his career, he has been inspired by patients who have experienced dramatic recoveries through lifestyle changes.
The National Institute of Whole Health is a perfect example of how people will learn to really take control of their lives in a healthy way. What they've done is they've collected basically the who's who of integrative health, and they've brought them together to give a series of lectures where they can then communicate with health professionals to basically deliver the message that we have to look at medicine from a different perspective.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health and their accredited professional continuing educational programs, go to www.wholepersonhealthcare.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL.
Today, we are talking with retired Lieutenant Colonel Jamie Parent, whose book, Moving Past PSTD, offers a wonderful opportunity for all of us to understand the veteran and to understand post-traumatic stress disorder a lot better than we do today. Jamie, thank you. Before the break, we talked about what you've learned, what particular skills or tools you've learned in this process of helping people get past the PSTD. Do you want to speak to that for a little bit?
Sure. I think the way I want to frame this as I continue to answer your question is, and this is very important, the differences between military people getting jobs and not getting jobs, or the unemployment rate, which has greatly improved, not just for our economy, but for veterans over the past year or so. I want to stress to the audience that the difference between the chasm between hiring and getting a job is nobody's fault. It's really nobody's fault. It's not the veteran's fault. It's not our society's fault. I think our society has some ills as well it relates to military transition. But the fact of the matter is, if G.I. Joe or G.I. Jane isn't getting hired, first of all, pointing fingers never solves anything. But I'm here to tell you what I learned. It's really nobody's fault. And let me explain. I'll talk about the civilian sector first. There is a bias. There is a bias to hiring people with disabilities, whether you're a military member or not. It's always that big toss-up question. Do I put that I have a disability on a job application? And you can hear a number of good arguments on both sides, whether you should or whether you shouldn't. We've got the American with Disabilities Act now, which is over 25 years in place, but there's still that bias, and the veterans feel that bias. Some veterans feel that bias for just military people in general. They don't want to put their military career on a job application for fear of being put into a bucket or put into some kind of mindset that the military person is too rigid, inflexible, or whatever. That's part of the equation too. The other part too is veterans don't really know how to get a job. So you see veterans going to job fairs, and people are there, hand us your resume, do whatever, and the military veteran doesn't really know. Most of them, I'm speaking in general terms. But if you think about it, the military member has never had to fill out a resume. They've never really had a job interview. In the military, your job interview might consist of, oh, you and 200 others are going to Afghanistan next Wednesday. Get your stuff in gear, and we'll see you on the tarmac Wednesday at 0400. That's their job interview. And of course, anybody out there who's ever tried to land a job, those soft skills associated with the interview are absolutely critical. Absolutely critical. As well as the resume. I've seen some of the most horrific resumes out there, not just from veterans, but from other folks, where they're filled with military acronyms that nobody understands or nobody cares about. Mm-hmm. Yes, I was in charge of $500 million for a USAF/SG associated with DEFCON 3 in PACCON. Nobody understands what those acronyms are, and what the military member doesn't understand is nobody cares. Nobody really cares, because when you're going for a job, you're trying to solve a problem for that recruiter. You're trying to solve a problem for that HR person who's got a need, and you've got to fill it. And so what happens is the military member will say, well, I didn't do that, but I can do anything. I was involved with this. I was involved with that. And by that time, Georgiana, they're completely out of the picture. They've been tuned out, and they've been that old phrase, which I really hate, is you're not the right fit. You're not the right fit. And then you got these veterans who will send their resumes to hundreds of different places. And one of them came to me and said, you know what? I sent my resume here, 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 here. And you know what, Jamie? Nobody ever called me back. I really don't think these people want to hire a veteran. And of course, they don't understand that they could send out 100 resumes and those resumes may never cross human eyes. Mm-hmm. They may go straight to the trash bin, having been screened out for by the software. So our program not only trained in information technology, but we also brought in recruiting firms. Who better to hire a veteran and know what is in the marketplace, the needs of the marketplace, than a headhunter firm, if you will, that does this for a living, sees hundreds of resumes a week, and also, importantly, has skin in the game. So if they can do some coaching, if they can do the resume refresh, if they can build the LinkedIn profile, they have a person with all those great leadership qualities that the military gives you, honesty, integrity, the ability to work long, long hours.
Discipline.
Discipline, exactly. Some things you might not see in millennials these days, by the way.
Wait, I have to stop you because I have three millennial children. And I was just talking to someone who runs a septic business, and she got onto that rant about, yeah, the millennials are responsible for what's going on in our country. I have to be frank with you. Millennials, that's a whole discussion, and I want to get someone on the show to do it. But except for, you know, the guy who started Facebook and a couple of other, you know, upstarts who have, you know, turned the, you know, kind of the business on its head, most millennial people today, they're making $40,000 a year after graduating from college, and they've got a ton of student loan debt, and they're living in 5-6 group homes where they rent an apartment with 4 or 5 other people and spend 67% of their income on keeping a roof over their head. So the millennials today, I think in many ways, they're pretty self-sufficient, and they're doing a great job in a very difficult situation. And while some of them, of course, in every generation, we have my generation, my Lord, I mean, we were off in Woodstock carrying on like fools, you know, and creating a lot of the mess we see today. But I think discipline is something that the military, absolutely, I've had two sons, I have one son still in, but two sons that have been in the military, and it's absolutely clear that discipline and the ability to be part of something is a huge and wonderful thing. So you're right. What a great what a great candidate, you know, for any of these headhunters, if they can present them properly and if they can, you know, train them or coach them to do and to understand how to apply that. What a fantastic thing. I also want to do a quick overview. Your book, Moving Past the PTSD, it's really about understanding and appreciating the things that the military and the families go through. And I think part of it, and I just want to kind of, I love bullet points. I'm kind of very pragmatic that way, is to understand that purpose and finding work is absolutely key once they have been, you know, kind of mainstreamed back into society, you know, kind of civilian society after experiencing the PTSD. So, you know, I don't want to get out of order because we're talking about job placement, which is brilliant and wonderful, and you're doing such a great job. Can you, after you finish sharing this wonderful information with us, can you talk about how to get them from the PTSD military culture to, you know, to the civilian culture, and, you know, what some of the bridges are that brings them from one to the other?
Well, in everybody's community, you're really in the United States, in all communities across the 50 states, you're really not too far from a VA medical center. You're really not. There's over, I believe the figure now is something like 120 VA medical centers across the country. And that's where veterans go to get health care. And many VAs have specific programs of their own for PTSD and other types of programs. In addition to that, because the heart of America has gone out to veterans, there are so many local and national veterans organizations, Wounded Warrior is one, that help veterans on many, many different scales, large, medium, and small. So if you just Google in your local community, you know, veterans services or VA or whatever, you'll see a lot of local organizations that are advocates for veterans. And those organizations are usually following the traditional ways of getting veterans hired, which is, give me your resume, I'll see if there's anything out there in the community, you'll get your resume, we'll have a job fair, we'll mark it up with pencil, and we'll give it back to you, and then use that resume. The veterans need more. The veterans need that personal touch. They need that individualized personal touch from someone who sits down with them for 15 or 30 minutes and says, here's how you build a resume. Standing in line at a job fair and resume in hand, giving it to somebody who looks at it for a couple of minutes, hands it back, is not the right way to go. The veteran needs that. And you know what? The organization that's about to hire them need that too, because those are very important vehicles to get that veteran in the door. And if that resume is not right, they don't stand a chance. The other part, too, is that in order for the veteran to be successful, and I learned this through my adventures in autism, as I call it, you have to get inside that veteran's world. You can't just have your continued world and then expect that veteran to just automatically jump on your train and be good to go. You have to get inside personally of that veteran. One of the best ways to do that, of course, is to have other veterans on staff. But the secret sauce for the Enabled Vet Program was we created an environment, a safe haven, if you will, where you were accepted, you were loved, you were brought in, we took you under our wing, and we worked with you daily to make you successful. And we didn't apply a whole bunch of templates. We got to know the veteran, and they got to know us. So just like autism, Georgiana, in order for my wife and I and my family to be successful with autism, we have to get into Brian's world. He can't really completely get into ours, but we have to get into Brian's world. And I'm not really comparing someone with autism with PTSD. What I'm saying is you have to just get into their world and understand where they're coming from, understand their triggers, understand their dreams, understand their hopes. And when you do that, you create that bond between veteran and organization. And that's the environment where that veteran will flourish. Mm-hmm. They want to become part of your organization just as they were part of their military organization. The rules of engagements are the same. The differences are always going to be there, but you have to really open up, envelop your arms around these veterans, and bring them into a safe place where it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay if things don't work out the first time. Because if you think about it, if you make a mistake on the battlefield, people may die. And it's not that way. I had a number of veterans that said, you know, I had a bad day. I messed up on this computer. I feel horrible. Well, why do you feel that way? Because you've been trained that if you make a mistake, it's horrific and people will die. It's not that way. It's really not that way. We make mistakes all day long, and technology is filled with people making mistakes. PCs crashing, phones don't work, internet goes down. That happens on a daily basis in a hospital and everywhere. I mean, I had Comcast go out for 36 hours the other day. I mean, these things just happen. It's okay to make a mistake, Mr. G.I. Joe and Mr. G.I. Jane. It's okay. And wow, it's really okay? Yeah, it's okay. But these things have to be learned. So the real secret to success was to create that environment. And when you do that, the PTSD and other triggers just kind of fade away a little bit because they're not worried about making a mistake. They're not worried about not fitting in, which is one of the greatest fears in coming out of military service.
So you're taking a lot of the anxiety out of the transition process.
Exactly, yes.
How many job placements? Have you done any calculation or looked at how many veterans you have been able to facilitate placement and reintegration into civilian life?
Well, we started small simply because we started small. We didn't have a whole lot of resources. We started small because I knew we would make mistakes because we were learning along the way. And besides, Georgiana, I already had a full-time job. I'm running a very busy day-to-day technology operations for a very large academic medical center, a great academic medical center, Rush University Medical Center in Chicago. So I already have a great job. The good thing, though, about working at Rush is Rush is an industry leader in helping people with disabilities. So I was given that latitude to help veterans as part of my duty. And so we started small. And I also knew that we needed to build a coalition. So if your listeners go to the website, and I'll say it slowly here, it's en-abled, A-B-L-E-D, vet, V-E-T, dot .net. So it's enabledvet.net with a dash between the N and the A. You'll see our whole program out there. You'll see our whole program. I knew I couldn't save the world. I knew I couldn't. I wanted to save one veteran at a time. And that was good enough for me. So we started with four in our program, and we brought them through. And some veterans pick up on it, and some don't. I mean, you can't save them all. And that was a very tough lesson that I learned. But we started small, and we built partners, and we built friendships. So if you go on the website, you'll see we've got partnerships with Microsoft, Hitachi, HP, Trend Micro, and others that provided free online training. So really no investment. They just made their training available for the veterans. So the veterans can pick and choose what type of technology they would like to learn. Mm-hmm. Probably our biggest win was with Judy Faulkner, who's the CEO of Epic Systems in Wisconsin. They're one of the leading medical records deliverers in the country. And they have a product called Epic. And Epic is a really hot job out there, but you need to have specific training and you need to have it done in a hospital. So for veterans with a clinical background, they got into Epic and they got training into Epic. And that's been very effective because Epic is ubiquitous across the United States. And so the latest figures I have, which are a little bit dated, is we were at Epic places in 15 states across the country. And overall, we've served about 40 veterans that have gotten jobs, some through Epic and some through not. One of my favorite stories is a guy named Kevin. Kevin was a Marine, and Kevin was on the verge of homelessness. And Kevin came into our program, and Kevin went through the Epic training. We had to give a little bit of the whip with him because he was kind of falling off a bit, but we got him through the program, and he did great. And he got a great job at Centura Health in Colorado. Amy Feaster, the CIO out there, was very impressed with him, and he got a job. And this Marine came into my office one day, a trained killer. I've got pictures of him crawling through the mud. You know, he's screaming, he's carrying a rifle. I really don't know exactly what he did, but he was a Marine. And this 23-year-old kid came into my office, and he sat down, and tears started rolling down his eyes. I'm like, Kevin, what's the matter? And he goes, you know, Jamie, he said, Centura Health offered me a job at $62,000 a year. They're going to give me a car for 3 months. They're going to give me a place to live for 3 months. Jamie, my dad never made more than $30,000 a year in his entire life, and here I am making $62,000 a year. And I'm 23 years old. And of course, you know, Georgiana, I'm going to confess to you, I have Kleenex on my conference table. There's two for me, and there's one for the veteran. And it was just such a joy. I can't thank you enough, Jamie. How can I thank you? And I'm like, Kevin, you just did, man. You just did. And so that's not always typical, okay? Some of the other vets got basic PC jobs, which is really not bad at all because it's not just a job. You're in a hot field. You're in computers. Computers are going to be here to stay. And if you know your way around a PC or a network, you won't need to go long without finding a job. You just needed that lucky break, or you needed that break where you were given the opportunity to shine. And by the on-the-job training and the taking care of the veteran through that 13-week process, we built kind of a new person that was mission ready, to use a military term, mission ready to have the tools that that person needed, get in the door, get the job, and then when they go into the start the job, the organization realizes, wow, look at this guy. Who found him? How did we do this? And I wanted to provide the template in the appendix of the book, which I have, how any organization can do the exact same thing that we did. Tailor it yourself. Please call it something like close to the enabled vet, but I don't really care what you call it. Just do what we've done. Put your own brand on it. Market it the way you want to. There's no license. It's all free. It's all available on the website and in the book. Just give it a try and see if it works for you, and see if you can have the same joy that our organization experienced within your organization when you hire a vet and that vet comes in and is successful and actually changes your environment too. It changes the mindset of your employees. Just create, you know, diversity is a very strong tool in terms of employee satisfaction and in terms of employee engagement and just working together. Diversity is very, very important. You bring in a veteran, somebody different, you bring in somebody that can change your environment for the better.
Absolutely.
That's the secret of the program.
Absolutely. And I think what you were talking about is the conditioning and the discipline and just the training. My daughter-in-law just gave birth to a baby, and she is really one well-trained, disciplined person. And I said to my son, I said, Brittany's going to bring that baby in on schedule and on time and on budget. I said, and she did. She did a tremendous, she even birthed in this incredibly disciplined and together, you know, really wonderful way. And we're so proud of her and what she was, what she came through. She came through 39 hours of hard labor. If that isn't, I want to tell you, if that isn't post-traumatic, let me tell you.
Yes, exactly.
But anyway, we're going to take another very short break. When we come back, let's talk about some statistics. You had some wonderful things to say about statistics, which I thought people might find quite fascinating in terms of, you know, what's going on in our civilian culture, what goes on in the military culture, and quite frankly, how, you know, we have to be aware of the traumas that are going on all around us. So when we come back, let's talk about gratitude that you had a wonderful conversation with me about, and about domestic terrorism and traffic accidents and some of the other things that we talked about, which help people put things in perspective. So don't go away, everybody. We'll be right back.
Dr. Gass is on the advisory board of HealthCorp, a new program which was begun by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
65% are overweight and 35% are obese, and the sharpest rise in this country is between the age group of 4 to 8 years old.
Throughout his career, he has been inspired by patients who have experienced dramatic recoveries through lifestyle changes.
The National Institute of Whole Health is a perfect example of how people will learn to really take control of their lives in a healthy way.
What they've done is they've collected basically the who's who of integrative health, and they've brought them together to give a series of lectures where they can then communicate with health professionals to basically deliver the message that we have to look at medicine from a different perspective.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health and their accredited professional continuing educational programs, go to www.wholepersonhealthcare.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. Changing Behavior. Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills by Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.
Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful pure presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. Work within healthcare environments or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance, a national provider identification number, and our expert-prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL, 888-354-4325.
Today we are talking with retired Lieutenant Colonel Jamie Parent, who wrote the book Moving Past PSTD, Consciousness, Understanding, and Appreciation for Military Veterans and Their Families. Jamie, before the break, we were talking about lots of statistics that when you were telling me, I was kind of going, wow, you know, I didn't realize that. You mentioned one already. You said every day 22 veterans takes their life. Every day, 22 veterans. That's a staggering amount. That's a staggering number. Can you talk to us a little bit about that? And you were saying some of them have never even seen combat. You know, let's talk about the implication of that.
Yes, it is unfortunately, it's a very sad statistic. And some of these veterans will commit suicide in the parking lot of a VA medical center facility. And it's very sad, and nobody really has the answer to suicide, veterans or not. You know, we're seeing cases of young men and women commit suicide due to cyberbullying. Our society has changed in very dramatic ways, and suicide, I think, is something that is not completely understood. And then, unfortunately, after the fact, you go back and you look at the signs and symptoms, and you say, oh, yeah, well, I saw this. But that number is depressing, and it's really not changing. It's really not changing. I think the main reason for it is the despair and the agony of depression, much of which goes untreated. You also have some stigma associated with military people coming back. I knew a veteran who really needed medical care. He really needed to get into some therapy, and he told me that he wouldn't go to therapy. He'd never go to the VA. Because he felt that he was taking an appointment away from some other veteran who needed it more than he did.
Mm.
So you've got those things going on. I'll be the first to say I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. I am a guy that grew up with autism in his family. I have learned a lot of School of Hard Knocks, if that's what you want to call it. My wife is a superstar education special ed behavioral specialist. So we've been doing this a long, long time. And our journey with autism began in 1988, before Rain Man, before the internet, when you had to learn so much as you could going to the library, because you had to be your own advocate, because the field of mental health didn't understand autism, and some progress has been made, but we still don't know the cause or cure.
Well, I want to share with you, I had the privilege of interviewing Dr. Mark Goulston, who's a medical psychiatrist, and Kevin Hines, who is renowned. He's well known as one of the few survivors of suicide attempt jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. He's always, you know, you always see stories about him on television and the news, and Dr. Goulston just received an award from a doctor. This is so embarrassing. I can see his face right in front of me.
Happens to me all the time, Georgiana.
I know. Dr. Oz, Dr. Mehmet Oz, he received from his organization. I mean, these are people who are, you know, really mainstream and have really been in the bowels of suicide. Kevin tried to commit suicide over 20 years ago. And what they shared with me was that people who commit suicide, it's the ultimate act of rage that leads to it's hopelessness. And the hopelessness comes from a rage and from an anger about not being seen, heard, or having their most basic human needs met. And why am I discussing this? Because I think it's critically important for people to understand what you're talking about is meeting the needs of these veterans, meeting the basic need of belonging and being purposeful and making a contribution. And whether they're a veteran or a civilian, we all share the same human drive. It manifests differently, of course, but I think that's really important. And what a tragedy to think all of these wonderful young men and women are taking their lives. That's almost 8,000 people a year. And considering we have 2.1 million veterans alive today, you know, that's a number I'm sure you would and everyone would like to see reduced. You talked about there are more deaths from domestic terrorism than overseas terrorism. There are 40,000 traffic accidents and motorcycle accidents, and there's opioid terror and all of these things. And yet, you know, when we think about, you know, kind of death by war and what have you, we're having our own wars here, aren't we? We're having our own PTSD problems in terms of getting up. And my 26-year-old said to me, she says, Mom, sometimes I'm afraid to go out. Who knows who's going to pull a gun and start shooting people in the middle of a restaurant or a movie theater? You want to talk to that? Because when you discussed that with me, I thought it was so moving and very touching and very revealing about the kind of world that we're living in, because so many people have post-traumatic stress disorder at this point.
Yes, and it is a different and a dangerous world, and you know, my family members feel it too. After 9/11, I had young children. I basically had to explain to them. I said, you know, the chances of you getting hit by a car walking to school tomorrow are a lot greater than the chance of you being a victim of terrorism, you know, in our neighborhood. But when that, something like that hits, when a big event like that hits, you know, you feel it, and then of course it hits you at your core. It hits you at your core that, wow, I can't believe that this happened. I can't believe that someone flew a plane into the Pentagon or into the Twin Towers. And you have to, everybody has to take time to process it, and everybody processes it differently. It's interesting, Georgiana, because you could have an event on the battlefield where there's, let's just say, I'll throw a number out there, 30 or 40 people out there, and they see some horrific war activity going on, you know, babies or moms or innocent civilians killed, or a lot of carnage and death. Not everybody will get PTSD. Some will, and some won't. And we really don't know who will and who won't.
Yep, absolutely. And that's true in day-to-day life as well. We don't know how things are going to affect each other. And what I loved about our conversation, and what I think is so important in this conversation with your book, talking to you, Jamie, and the work that you do, you have created a compassionate template for all of us, not only to relate and support our veterans, which is very important, but you've created a compassionate template to understand trauma, to understand what people, what disability, what many of the things that people are living with every day go through. And I think the voice of your book, while it is focused on military, I just want to congratulate you, because I think it's a very applicable, and I would encourage you to write one that that is not just you know, just specific for the military veteran, but also specific to the human being who is living in a different world today. I think we are living in a war zone. You know, I think that we're all military at this point, you know, in a very metaphorical sense, because there's quite a war going on. Some say it's good and evil. Some say, you know, they give it other descriptions. But you've done a wonderful job, a compassionate job. I am personally so grateful to be able to interview you and to share this with other people. Just to recap, Jamie has written the book called Moving Past PTSD, Consciousness, Understanding, and Appreciation for Military Veterans and Their Families. And you can visit a website to learn a lot more about the specific work that he's doing with veterans. One of them is www.en-abled.net, and another one is www.pastptsd.net. So, you know, if you're interested in the book, you can go to Amazon. I know I've seen it on Amazon. It's probably all over the place. And Jamie, we can't thank you enough for the work that you're doing to make the world a better, kinder, gentler, and more compassionate place. And thank you so much for coming on the show today.
And just for, thank you very much, Georgiana. And just a couple things for clarification. The author website is movingpastptsd.net. And if you go to Amazon now, you'll only be able to pre-order because the general release for the book is August 14th. They tell me it's coming along quite quickly and it might move up, but that's the officially established date, August 14th, 2019.
But they can pre-order it, I'm sure, on Amazon. I did see it on Amazon, actually. It's up already.
Yes. It's available for pre-order. Yes.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Jamie, thanks for that. Blessings to you. Have a wonderful day. And listeners, don't forget to join us again next week for another program here on Living Above the Drama.